blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face. Within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, at the 24th chapter, verses 13 through verse 35. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13 through verse 35. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son and nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was made known of them in breaking of bread. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family. Also, Deacon Rick Busicum, who was in the hospital in this past week. There is a child in the hospital, the son of Peter and Henriette Wessels. Also, Mrs. Van Heerden hopes to have eye surgery tomorrow. We hope also to remember Riley Rosendahl, who may have a birthday, if all is well, in the day of tomorrow. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and the help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, there are so many things, as we have just heard, so many needs and so many cares, and also so many reasons to acknowledge Thee. And Lord, we are such foolish creatures, we go on as if there is no God. We go on as if we shall live forever, and as if we can take care of ourselves. And Lord, we have such a form and custom of religion, but oh, it needs to be in our heart. And we don't have it in our heart by nature. And even when Thou might have worked in our life, oh, then we can be so far away from that right place, a place of utter dependence, a place of simplicity, a place of coming in the dust before Thee. Oh, give to us then what we need in this morning. We have just sung it out of Thy holy word, that desire of Thy servant to be in Thy house of prayer, all to come before Thy presence and to experience something of Thy nearness and of Thy favor. And Lord, it is Thy holy day again this day, and it is the morning hour of this day. Oh, we stand before it, a day when we may come together and when we may be together as a congregation in Thy house of prayer. Oh, then there is only one thing that we need. Lord, we need Thee to come in with Thy word, and we need Thee to send Thy Holy Spirit to be with us also in this day. Oh, we deserve that Thou wouldest shut us out forever and forever. Lord, Thou art the silent witness of our life. Oh, may it not be a silent witness, but oh, may it be that we may experience the dealings of Thee in our life and in our hearts, and that Thou may not leave us to go on our whole life long to work out our own destruction, traveling upon that broad way. Oh, Lord, wilt Thou look on us this day? It is Thy day, and it is a day that Thou hast set aside, a day that Thou wilt work, a day when Thou wilt apply that which Thou hast accomplished. And we have heard it in the week gone by, how that Thou hast risen from the dead, that Thou art alive, and that Thou dost sit at the right hand of Thy Father. Oh, from there Thou dost exercise Thy power in the place of Thy glory. Oh, we can read it in Thy word, how powerful Thou wast when Thou wast here below. Lord, Thou didst speak the word only, and the servant was healed. Thou didst say one word, and the dead were raised again. Oh, when it was such a power to be experienced in the days of Thy humiliation, when Thy glory was hidden behind the veil of Thy humanity. Oh, then in this day, when Thou art seated at the right hand of Thy Father, oh, when Thy glory that is exalted to the highest by all the host that is about Thee, oh, Lord, may it be that we also hear upon the world yet for a little time. Oh, that we also may experience this day that a power of Thee in the midst of us, that it may go forth, Thy Spirit, that it may bring forth new life. Oh, could it please Thee, Lord, to give that testimony upon Thy own word. Oh, to give that as a testimony upon our own work here, that it may be, that there may be fruit upon our labors, that may be the proof that Thou hast sent us to this congregation, that Thou hast sent us to this flock, to this place, that there may be new ones born in Zion, that there may be instruction truly for Thy own children. Oh, that we all may be led, that we may be taken out of that pit, of that horrible corruption of death and of sin, and that we may be given that new life, a life that lives not for this world. Lord, the world is in our hearts, the world that is in our life. Oh, that Thou may forgive and take away all our many, many sins. And Lord, wilt Thou cause us also to be more faithful in the warning of one another, each one of us in our place in this life, and forgive all of our shortcomings also in that regard. And may we together as a congregation seek the welfare of each other's souls, and of our own souls as we are traveling to that never, never ending eternity. Oh, we have seen how quickly, and we have seen how suddenly it can come. A death as a thief in the night. Lord, it is now 1 week ago. Oh, thou hast taken away that dear husband and father. Oh, remember the widow. And now she must, Lord, begin to live it in. Oh, wilt thou be on the right and on the left hand in mercy, and wilt thou uphold her? Wilt thou strengthen her? Wilt thou supply each hour and each day, and give her to feel that underneath are thine everlasting arms? And help us to bear the burdens of one another, and give to all the widows and the widowers and the orphans all that they stand in need of from above, the comfort that is necessary in this life of tears and of sorrow. For oh, may we learn to sorrow after a godly sort, a true sorrow that worketh the repentance and never to be repented of. The tears of missing the true God, the tears that we have rebelled against our Maker, against our Creator. Lord, we can't give it to each other. We can't give it to ourselves. We can put it in our hearts for the first time, and we can put it there by renewal. Oh, it is such a one-sided work, and thou hast promised to do it. Thou hast promised to do it even unto the end of the world, even in this time that we are living in with our dear children, wherein Satan has so many devices, that of 6,000 years. Oh, Lord, put him away this day from amongst us. And wilt thou deliver us from all his designs. And oh, give that thy spirit may prevail. That thy work may come to the foreground. That thy word may be quick and powerful as a sharp two-edged sword. Do remember all thy children, each and every one. They are an afflicted and a poor people. They are a people that are poor in spirit, but they are a people that thou dost say are blessed. Oh, Lord, they don't feel themselves so often to be blessed. But, oh, there are then times that they may say that inheritance, oh, that thou hast brought them into a large place. And, oh, that they may feel a little of the blessed freedom. They may feel a little of the blessedness of that free and sovereign grace. Oh, may it be also in this day to give the people a little relief, to give them a little oasis in the wilderness, that they may feed a little in the fat pastures of thee. Oh, that they may drink a little of those blessed fountains that thou hast provided in that blood of thy dear Son, shed upon a cursed tree, so that they will never have to be separated from thee. Oh, Lord, give them to taste a little, and oh, give them to sing a little beginning of that which they will sing one day, forever and forever. Oh, look on us, Lord, if we deceive ourselves. Oh, we have deceitful hearts, and we all want to be included. Oh, that is our nature. But, Lord, we don't all want thee. By nature, we want nothing to do with thee. Oh, wilt thou show us then the difference? Oh, if we have taken something that does not belong, if we are building, Lord, on a false foundation, have pity upon us. Have mercy upon us. And oh, give us then this day, for the first time in our life, open eyes and an uprightness of heart, that we might have in the first time to smite upon our breast
and truly to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, look upon the whole congregation, young and old. Thou knowest how that most of us do travel through this world. Most of us on that broad way. And hearing thy word and reading thy word and with a form of religion every day, every week. And so we go on, dead in sins and in trespasses. Lord, we increase our guilt and we increase our responsibility under the preaching, under the reading of thy word. And then, Lord, we cannot do a thing. Oh, we cannot lift one finger for our own salvation. But Lord, with thee is all the power in heaven and in earth. Oh Lord, we beseech thee as a congregation. We beseech thee as a wretched and as an undeserving people that thou would come today in this thy day. And that thou would raise us to a new life. Oh, that a miracle, that many miracles in this day may be performed in thy house of prayer. And that thou would take out the arrows from thy heavenly quiver. And may thou shoot them here in this place. And may we be the objects of thy mercy and of thy love. Oh, may it be experienced, Lord. Today, in thy house amongst young and old. O Lord, to whom can we go? Thou who art over thy whole church. O come thou, Lord, undeservedly from our side, and do it for thy name's sake, that the angels in heaven, that they may rejoice this day, when one sinner may repent. O look upon and feed thy church. Look on all the afflicted ones, that there are many that are this day shut up in their homes. They cannot come to thy house of prayer because there is also much sickness in the congregation, the families, parents, the children. Oh, may thou look on them and wilt thou give health and strength again. But may it not be that if for the purpose of going on in our sin, but may it be to return us to health, and that we may turn from our evil ways, and that we might love and serve thee. Oh, look upon all the afflicted ones. Remember our brother Deacon. He was in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest all his circumstances, the pain continually in his body. Strengthen him for the labors each day of husband, of father, of deacon in the congregation. May thou give a solution and may thou bless the dealings for the need of his own soul and the soul of his children and of his wife. And look upon all those that are afflicted, also the child that is in the hospital this day. May thou remember him. And may thou strengthen him and give him health and strength again undeservedly in his body. And strengthen the parents also in this way. Wilt thou be with her and that must receive surgery in the day of tomorrow. Oh, that thou may be on her right and on her left hand. Once again, make it well as thou hast made it well in the past. And visit her in mercy. Remember also the child that hopes to commemorate his birthday, when thou wilt spare him again through this day and the night to come, that in the day of tomorrow, wilt thou give his parents and all that are surrounding him a heart in a special way to acknowledge thee through all the difficulties that he has been through in this past year and in his life. And may thou continue to strengthen him and heal him and give that it may yet be a child that is a child of thee, and that thou may have dealings in his own soul and in the souls of his loved ones. Lord, be with all those that have birthdays, anniversaries. Thou knowest where they are. Give acknowledging hearts and humble us under thy great goodness, and that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Lord, wilt thou go with all thy servants this day over the length and the breadth of this world, and remember them, and wilt thou give that thy word may prevail, and that it may bring forth fruit. We remember also those that hope to travel in this week to the Netherlands. Look upon them as they go to visit their daughter there. Oh, look upon her. And when she is also far away from her loved ones, may she feel how that she is by nature so far away from thee. And that may be the burden of her soul, and that she may be given to know something of that blessed nearness and that blessed communion that we have read about and we hope to consider out of thy word. Oh, wilt thou look on us then this day? Oh, Lord, come thou. Come thou in the midst of us. Lord, we cannot do it without thee. Oh, and it will be the words only of a man. It shall come all to nothing. Oh, come in our midst and do what we cannot do undeservedly. Forgive thou all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 72, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart and lips. Their answer speak, and thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. We announce that there will be a consistory meeting of all as well tomorrow evening at 7:30. We announce also that Arjan Janssen and Beverly Den Hollander hope to be united in a marriage May 2nd, 2007. Any lawful objections ought to be brought to the consistory in a signed written statement. Psalter number 72, stanzas 1 through 4.
Congregation, what an eventful day was the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very morning of that day unto the very evening, as we have read it out of the Word of God, I think that the disciples have never forgotten that day. Not their whole life. But they have lived to tell something of the wonders of the Lord in their life. May we also say something of those wonders of the Lord. In the morning, they awoke so very sad. And in the evening of that day, they were filled with gladness, filled with joy. They have really learned so much in that day. Especially when we read that the Lord opened their understanding so that they might understand the Scriptures. What must have been for those disciples when, as we have read together, that the Lord took that bread and He broke it and He distributed that bread to them. And we read their eyes were opened and they knew Him. Because in that moment, then they saw the Lord Jesus as they have never seen Him before in their life. Then all of a sudden, old things were passed away and everything became new. Oh, what may they eat? What may they drink in those moments? Now, if we are spared, we hope to commemorate in a few weeks from now the Holy Supper of the Lord. And that is that place where the Lord does feed also and nourish His own people. That is the place where they may, by the Spirit of the Lord, behold Him in that breaking of that bread. But we know that it is necessary at first to examine ourselves whether we may eat of that bread. And now, in the next few weeks, the Lord willing, we hope with the Lord's help to walk along a little. To walk along a little, as it were, with these two men who may partake of that bread which was given unto them by the Lord. But then it is necessary that we may ask ourselves if we also may walk along with these men. Thus, would we be welcome there? Would we be able to speak with these men? Would we know what is dwelling within the heart of these men, that there may be a communion with them? Because when we may have communion with them, then we may also have communion at that Holy Supper of the Lord. And therefore we wish to make a little beginning of this in this morning hour out of the words of our text, which you can find in Luke 24, verses 15 and 16. Luke 24, verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So far the words of our text. The two Emmaus travelers, first, their circumstances. Second, Jesus draws near. Third, their eyes are holding. The two Emmaus travelers, first, their circumstances. Second, Jesus draws near. And third, their eyes are holding. And behold, two of them. Behold, that is actually a remarkable word. Behold. What does that word say? That word says, stop a moment. Thus, stop a moment and consider. Stop a moment and look. Stop a moment and see. That we don't do too often, because we go on and on and on. But now that is the first mark that we wish to speak about in this morning. Were you ever stopped? Because we don't stop, but were you ever stopped? And may you ever behold. It says, and behold, two of them. Behold, who are they? These are two of God's true children. Oh, and when the Lord will stop you, then what will you do? Then you will behold. You will behold something of that true church. May you ever do this. Oh, may you ever behold the life of that church. May you ever see them in their walk. How that their life that is different than the life of this world, when it is right. May you ever behold them. May you ever behold their conversation. May you ever hear something about which they may speak. May you ever behold the wonders of the Lord in their life. That you see that it is a miracle and that the Lord has performed in the life of that people. And were you ever jealous that you say that the Lord would also perform such a miracle, that the Lord would also perform such a work in my life and in my heart, that your heart began to go out after the Lord when you may behold two of them, when you may behold that true church of God? And behold, may you ever behold, congregation, their sorrows. May you ever behold what makes them go bow down over this world. May you ever behold what grieves them, what burdens them. Because that is not the same as what burdens this world. May you ever behold what makes them happy. May you ever behold what makes them joyful. Or may you ever be jealous of that portion. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They are two of the 70 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleopas we read, and we don't read of the name of the other one. But they are traveling together from Jerusalem to Emmaus, that is about 7 miles, about 2.5 hours walk together. Why do they go there? We really do not know. The Bible does not say. It could be that they have some business that they have to do there. Maybe they simply return home after the Passover. But we read that they went. They are men that are living in the midst of this world. The Lord Jesus has not asked his Father to take his children out of this world, but he has asked them if he may keep them from the evil of this world. And now these men, they have spiritual concerns, but they also have natural concerns. And thus they have to go on in their life with all that has taken place. That is not so easy. But they have to go on in all their heart sorrow. And they have to continue with all of the business that they have to do also in this world. And the Lord has not said to his children that they may leave all of the business of this world. No, the Lord says they ought to be diligent also in the things of this world. He has sent them to the end so that we may learn how to work with diligence. And yet, congregation, it can be in the heart of that people that all the business of this world is sometimes a great burden. For the love and for the desire that they may have unto the Lord. And for the concerns that they may have for spiritual things. There was a time David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, because then I would fly far away and be at rest. Then I would wander. And I would go into the wilderness, and there I would be safe from the storm and from the tempest." But it is not the will of the Lord. No, the will of the Lord is that his people are traveling further, even in this world. And then all the things they have to deal with in this world, they are things the Lord is often using, even for the good of the soul of that people. On the other hand, these men do not have only natural concerns, but they have a concern in their heart. Thus they are living in this world, but they are men who are not of this world. Congregation, can we also say that? Oh, then we all have to say what shortcomings. Because this world that has such a place in our heart, that we are so attached to everything that is here below. Is that ever your burden? And we read of these men as they went, we read that they talk together. That is a blessed thing. That they may have one another that they may speak to. And that they may speak to one another. Do we also have that? Do we have one that we may speak? Do you have one also, boys and girls? Or one friend, maybe, that you may really talk to? What are those things that these men are talking about? Well, we read that they are talking about the things which have happened, and they talk together of all these things which had happened. There are many things that happen in the world, and we are all interested to know, and we are all speaking often about the things, all the things that are happening in this world. And congregation, that is in a certain sense necessary. But is this now all that we can speak to each other about? Or when we talk to one another, then sometimes it is as if we need to be the first one to know what is going on, so we may be the first one who may tell what is going on, that we may be the center of this spreading of news. But congregation, may we ever speak to one another about those things which concern the need of our soul and the things which concern the need of the church and the things which weigh us down concerning how that the church is going over this world, how that the walls about God's church are broken down. Oh, may we ever speak to one another about these things. So it was here. These two men, they speak to each other about all that has happened. They have a special interest in all the things that have taken place in these days that have gone before. And why do they have a special interest in this? Well, it has to do with prophecy. Or is this why we are interested also in the things that are going on? Or when we read our newspaper, and when we hear what is going on in this world, or is it that we might lay this next to the Word of God, and that we might see how that God is fulfilling His own Word, and how that He is bringing everything to an end here below, how that the persecution of that true church that is coming closer and closer to us and our children, how that the dark clouds of judgment are hanging over us, how that the footsteps of the Lord can be heard as He is coming to judge the quick and the dead. All they are speaking together about all these things which have taken place. That is, congregation, the subject of their talk we read as they walk. No, we cannot always be sitting and reading, although we hope it may be in the life of every one of us, but this was as they were walking. Or is it also as we are walking, as we are working, and as we are going about our daily labors, all that our thoughts, that our minds may be taken up with the concerns and with the needs of our own soul. What we lack, what we miss. It is, we read, the same day. It is the first day of the week. It is the same day as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It is that day that the Lord has set apart to do something. What is that? To visit His own people. Often unexpectedly. That is going to be a day. These disciples don't know it yet. But it is going to be a day that these disciples are going to have their eyes opened. It is going to be a day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reveal Himself unto His afflicted and poor people. It is going to be a day that they are going to receive a great blessing for the comfort, for the joy of their soul that they are never going to forget. It is going to be for them a blessed, blessed Sabbath day. And congregation, may we ever experience this also on this first day of the week. This is a special day. Oh, do you ever feel that, boys and girls? How that the Sabbath day is such a blessed day? Oh, do you ever have a burning in your heart on that Sabbath day? When you may arise in the morning and when you may realize that it is the day of the Lord, the day that we may go up unto the house of God, the day that we may ask, that we may beseech, that we may receive a blessing out of that heavenly storehouse of that greater Joseph. Oh, that is a day, the Sabbath day, that the Lord is using to resurrect the dead. Oh, is there then a cry that also goes out of our hearts that the Lord would give me that new life? That the Lord would give that new life unto my children?
that the Lord would give that new life, boys and girls, unto my father, unto my mother, unto my grandfather, unto my grandmother. Two, they are walking, they are speaking. There is a bond. There is something that binds them together. Do we know that too? There are natural bonds, and there are spiritual bonds. There are the bonds of our flesh. There are the bonds of brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers with their children. Are there such bonds, young people? Are there bonds between you and your brothers and sisters? Oh, may that show a little bit to the joy of your father and mother in your household, that you are not always fighting with one another, but that our children help one another, that they love one another in this very, very short time that you have to be together as young people and as children in one household. Oh, may our households be pleasant places, children, boys and girls, places where a bond may be felt. Oh, then there are bonds also between friends. Then we read in the Word of God, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, sometimes, young people, then we can have a friend that is very, very close to us. And when those bonds are broken, then that is very, very hurtful. Then there is pain within our heart. And now we see these two men. They are also bound together. Oh, then that is not a natural bond, no, but they are bound together with a spiritual bond. Oh, then there are true brothers and sisters in the Lord. And why is that? Because they are born of that same Spirit. And now, people of the Lord, I ask it of the children. But oh, is something of those bonds also felt? And does something of those bonds also show in your life? The bonds with God's true children. And that you may be bound together. And that it may also be show in this short, sure time. And that we have to live together in this world. And before we have to depart out of this life, those bonds that are within the heart of that church, they are greater congregation than the bonds of the flesh. We read how that the love of David and Jonathan for one another was greater than the love of women. That is the greatest natural love that we may feel in this life, but those spiritual bonds are greater. Or do we also know such bonds? Because when we will partake of that Holy Supper, then it is necessary that we know a bond. Then it is necessary that we know a love. And oh, what a shame when the character of people, us wretched people, is coming in between to be breaking those bonds. But then it is necessary to know something of those bonds. And when those bonds are known, and congregation, when those bonds are broken, then that hurts very, very much. David, he says, we walked together to the house of God in company. in company. We went together to the house of God. And we could speak together about the most necessary, the most personal things. And now that bond is broken.
But congregation, do we know as such a bond?
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. We see in our second thought that that is a blessed thing, not because they have one another only, but it is especially a blessed thing because when they are talking together, we read that the Lord Jesus himself draws near. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What does it say? It says not just Jesus, but it says Jesus himself. That is a wonder. Because who is that then? Who is that that drew near and went with them? That was God himself. God himself drew near to these two men. And he went with them. And he walked with them after the fall. Is that not a wonder? We read, congregation, that in the fall they were cast out. They were cast out of the presence of God. Is that ever your burden? And now what do we read? That Jesus himself, God himself, he goes with them. He walks with them. And now I ask you this question. Just that you have this in your thoughts, in the way of examination of ourselves, in the weeks that are to come, it is a little early, but congregation, we have always to examine ourselves. Now I ask you this question. Is that now the desire of your heart? That the Lord would come. And that the Lord would walk with you. And that the Lord would go with you. Is there a hunger? Is there a thirst in your soul? That you may also commune with him. And that the Lord would speak unto you. That is, congregation, the hunger of that new life. God's servant said, as the heart panteth for the brooks of water, so longs my soul for thee, O God. Oh, do you know something then of even the smallest beginning of this new life? And would that be the greatest wonder in your life when God would draw near and when God would go with you? Can you not miss him? Do you know what Moses said? He said, Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. That is now the desire that belongs to that new life. Then there will be a people, they will say, how is that possible? When I only see inside a little bit, and oh, then it is impossible that the Lord would ever go with me. Because in my heart, there is such a fountain of sin. There is such a fountain of guilt. But now how is it? How is it that God, he can draw near and he can go and he can walk with these two men. Well, we read Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That is, congregation, the eternal wonder that God himself has found out a way that he can go with that sinful people, that he can walk with them, that he can go next to them, that he can commune with them, and that they are not completely destroyed. It is impossible for a triune God in and of himself to do so. But what has the Lord done? He has sent his only begotten Son in his infinite wisdom into this world. He has made him and taken upon himself our own flesh. He has paid that price for the sin of his people. He has taken away all the wrath, all the displeasure of his Father against that people. And therefore, he is able to go with them. He is able to walk with them through this life. And then there is no danger because of the judgment of God against the sin of that church. And then that angel with that flaming sword, he can be taken out of the way. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They talked together. They communed together. And now they begin to talk to him. Now he begins also to commune with them. Or is that not a wonder? That they may speak to God, and that God may speak to them? Would that not be a wonder? Oh, you pray, do you not? We try to pray. But congregation, what a difference between praying and praying. Or is that not a wonder? And would that not be a wonder for us when truly we could feel that we may draw nigh unto God, that he may hear our cry, our prayer, and that we may feel in our own soul that his ear is open unto our cry, and that we are able to unburden our heart to him, and that he may also give an answer, that Most High God, to speak to us. Oh, that is the beginning of a blessed taste of that communion with God that is going to take place forever and forever in the life of that people one day. Jesus himself drew near and went with them when they communed together and reasoned at that time. Thus, it is a special time that the Lord is drawing near unto his people. It is not in isolation. It is not to hermits. It is not to monks when they are shutting themselves up in a cell all by themselves, as if we can shut out sin from our heart. No, but the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. That is, that when is the Lord coming? The Lord is coming when God's children are often together, and when they are in the house of God, and when they may be together, when they may begin to speak together about those things which lay upon their heart. And as they are speaking together, And then the Lord Himself is coming in with it. The Lord Himself is drawing near. The Lord Himself is giving opening. The Lord Himself is giving liberty. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, then sometimes they can say, how good that it was that we may be together. But congregation, the time that goes on, let us sing Psalter number 350. And we'll sing only stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion, blessed shall ever stand our willing feet. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 350. Our third thought, their eyes are holden. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. That was a miracle. Where was that miracle? Was that miracle in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that they could not recognize who He was? It is not. The body of the Lord Jesus looked just like it did before, although it was a body that was now not subject to corruption. It was raised in immortality. It was raised in incorruption. And yet, it is not the body of the Lord Jesus. No, we read here very specifically that the miracle that is in the holding of their eyes. That is, when the Lord wills that we see nothing, then we see nothing. We can read in the Word of God of Elisha that he saw the chariots and the horsemen of fire, of protection all about them. But it was hidden from his servant until the Lord himself opened his servant's eyes. Thus, the Lord is not showing to all of his children the same thing. And he is not showing them the same thing always at the same time. But now in this case, we read that their eyes are whole, and thus they can see him as a person, but they do not know him. Thus, the people feel something of the presence of the Lord, but they do not realize that it is actually the Lord himself. And that it is the Lord who is drawing near. Sometimes when they are sitting in that house of God, then they can feel something of this. But the Lord holds himself, for now it is hidden from them. That is not uncommon in the life of God's church. Especially in the beginning of that way, and especially when they may be together within that house of God, or when the Lord's ways then are spoken about, and when they may have a little in their own heart in common with those ways of the Lord, or when that life of grace may be laid out by the Lord's servants. And when the riddles that lie in the heart of that people, when they are a little bit put forth, and when something of the sorrows, something of the perplexities that are bound continually on the heart of that people, then sometimes then there is something happening in the heart of that people that they are not able to explain. And then they feel something. Then they feel something of the blessed presence of the Lord himself. Sometimes the love of God that may be so poured out within their soul. And yet their eyes are holding. That they do not know him. And that they do not realize what is happening. That they don't realize that it is the Spirit of the Lord. Then the Lord is so close to them. Then the Lord is going with them, and the Lord is walking with them. The Lord is communing with their heart, with their soul, but they do not even realize it. Not permitted to know who that the Lord is and what is taking place. Only permitted to feel it. Often at those times when the riddles of their heart, as these men are the greatest, often in those times when the weight upon the soul of that people is the heaviest, often at those times when the questions that perplex them are the greatest in number, even often at those times, the Lord is the closest. And he seems to them to be the furthest away. He draws near and he goes with them. He is so close to them. He is listening. He hears their groanings. He hears their sorrows. And he is listening as they are communing And as they are pouring forth their hearts, but he does not reveal himself. He keeps himself hidden. Why? Well, for reasons that are known to him. And he is the wisest. He is first going to give them instruction. And he is first going to make room. He is going to make a place in their heart for himself. And it will be in his own time. And it will be in his own way that he is going to reveal himself unto his people. Two men, disciples of the Lord, they are so close to the solution in their life. So close to the solution of all the riddles and the things that perplex them. But they have no idea that they are so close. And they never thought that it would be by this stranger who draws near and goes with them, that by this stranger everything would be brought to rights again. People of the Lord, how often is Christ not such a hidden person in your life? He hides himself so you cannot see him. And so you have to go on as what? As a missing person. Young people, I ask you for a moment to listen closely, because the world today says it the opposite. All they say, here we have it. The Word of God, it's all revealed in the Word of God. And we don't need anything more. All we say it, it is true. It is all revealed in that Word of God. The Lord Jesus is come in the flesh. But for that people, it is not enough. Many, many still are descending into that bottomless pit, even though it is all revealed in that Word of God. No, we need something here. We need something revealed here in our own soul. These men are not strangers of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men are not strangers of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what these men did not have? These men had no ability to open their own eyes for him when the Lord Jesus shut their eyes. Oh, who would not believe that if these men could rip the scales from their eyes, that they would not do so? Oh, they had such a desire to see the Lord Jesus, and he was going with them, but they could not see him. No, it is not their work. They did not withhold their own sight, but the Lord Jesus was withholding that sight. And they cannot step one step ahead of him. No, they need to learn to follow him in all his ways. Oh, he reveals himself in that way and in that time that he sees fit. And it will be a way that is mysterious. He works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Congregation, by nature, all our eyes are holding. We cannot see. What don't we see? We don't see reality. We don't believe reality. We don't believe the Word of God. We don't understand what truth is. We don't believe our relation to God is a broken one. We think that all is well. Oh, we are so far from God. Do you ever feel this? So far from God. Is that ever now your burden? That you are far away from your Maker, from your Creator. Not only that, but that we cannot draw nigh to Him. Do you know that by experience? That you cannot draw nigh to Him. The Arminians say, oh yes, you can. Is that true? Oh, what may you experience in your own life? Do you know what the Bible says? Dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. And these men, also the people of God, no power. But He drew near. He drew near. And that's what we need. You and I, all of us. That He may draw near to us. A congregation, He has the power to do it. He is sitting at the right hand of His Father. He is alive today. And He can draw near to us. Oh, may we be given a place to bow our knees, to supplicate to Him. That's what we need in our own hearts, in our families, in our congregation, in our churches, in our denomination. That the Lord Himself would draw near and that He would go with us. Then alone can it be well. Let us then, every one of us, oh, let us go on our knees and let us earnestly beseech the Lord that He would come. Come to us and our dear children that He may work in this time of grace, even in the end of the world in which we are living, and that we and our children may know something of what these disciples may experience when He may draw near and go with them. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O come down. Lord, it is undeserved. What can we say to Thee? Our whole life, our whole heart, it all testifies against us. Lord, but oh, take reasons out of Thyself. Oh, draw near to us and go with us in mercy. Forgive, forgive. All that is so sinful, within and without, look upon us further this day. Bring us with desire into Thy house of prayer in this afternoon. Help us in the preaching and in the hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, God of hosts in mercy, my supplication here. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide Thy face, but look upon Thy servant, anointed by Thy grace. 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.